Well, each August, we take the month to enjoy the movies and let the movies bring us a little bit more insight into the world. We kicked off the month with Mary Poppins Returns. Last week, we watched or talked about Hidden Figures, a movie that if you have not seen it, please see. And a sermon that if you did not hear, I invite you to please. We have the text, the audio, and the video all available via the website and Facebook. A conversation about systemic racism and what we need to consider and reflect on our own lives as we think about who we are as God's people. And this week, we break out the popcorn machine and we visit the chocolate factory. Willy Wonka was a movie I loved as a child. Well, loved in a complicated way because it both entertained and perplexed me. Willy Wonka is very true when he says, "A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men." Yeah, a lot of nonsense in that film. I mean, it's so colorful and creative, yet oddly terrifying at the same time. I mean, for every room in that movie filled with candy and chocolate, there was also a dark hallway with a villain-esque man in a bowler hat making vague threats. For every orange-faced, funny, pant-wearing Oompa Loompa, there was also a child who went missing with the possibility of horrible death around every corner. For all of the joy in The Candyman Can, there was also that creepy boat ride through the Tunnel of Nightmares. Is it raining? Is it snowing? Oh, my goodness! Oh, such oscillation and whiplash was indicative of Roald Dahl. I mean, at its core, Willy Wonka is the tale of a mysterious factory owner who brings a group of golden ticket-holding children on a journey, not to find chocolate and candy, but to confront their deepest flaws. Gluttony, greed, rudeness, self-aggrandization, all of these flaws exaggerated to a point of destruction. Now, a biblical pairing for such a movie is not hard to find. Our scriptures are filled with imperfect people who take journeys that bring their shortcomings to light. I mean, that's pretty much every other page in the Bible. People screw up, people screw up, people screw up. Now, here's the catch. In between those pages, the other page is God forgives them. That's pretty much a synopsis of the whole thing if you need. People screw up, God forgives them, people screw up, God forgives them, and you just keep turning your way through the book. But at the top of this long list of imperfect people taking journeys that bring their shortcomings to light, at the top of that list is David and Bathsheba. David, you know, the young boy who watched the sheep, who played his harp and wrote the Psalms. You know, David, who killed Goliath and became a king. He has everything he could have ever wanted and more. And then we have that moment at the end of Willy Wonka where he looks at Charlie and says, "Charlie, do you know what happened to the little boy who got everything he ever wanted? He lived happily ever after." Not so much for David. He really screwed up that whole happily ever after thing. See, though his palace is filled with a harem of wives, David finds himself on a balcony one evening, longing after the woman next door. Allow the book of 2 Samuel to catch us up on the story. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The servant returned, saying, "She is Bathsheba, daughter of Elam, and wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her, and she came to the palace, and he slept with her. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to the king saying, "Hey, I'm pregnant." Like I said, a lot of imperfect people and complicated journeys in the book we call the Bible. So I'm going to summarize the next chapter of 2 Samuel, if I may. King David, now confronted with the woman he slept with who is pregnant, doesn't want anyone to find out. But it turns out her husband hasn't been home for months because he's off fighting in the king's war. So the king has a clever idea, calls her husband Uriah home. He's the king. He can call anybody back from the war. So he does that, and he says, "Uriah, you should spend some quality time with your wife." He encourages Uriah to go do so, but out of solidarity with his comrades on the front line, Uriah refuses to and sleeps outside, because if they're not home, he shouldn't be either. So King David tries again. This time, he takes Uriah out for a few drinks and then walks him home and says, yeah, you should go spend some quality time. And Uriah falls asleep in the doorway because he had a little too much fun with the king. So David, after all of this, tries and tries with no luck. So David decides the easiest way out of this mess is to simply tell the truth. Okay, I'm totally kidding. That's not what happened. Instead, the king has this poor guy shipped off to the worst part of the war zone and tells the commander, put him in the middle of the fighting and then pull all the other soldiers back so he's left alone in the field of battle to die. And that's exactly what happens. Word comes that Uriah has died in battle. And as soon as the obligatory mourning period is over, the king brings Bathsheba out of the goodness of his heart into the palace, since she is a widow, marries her, takes her as a wife, and heaven behold, suddenly they have a baby. I guess when you're the king, people are willing to ignore the completely unbelievable timeline of how this all happened. And it seems as if the world just moves on. Well, the world may have, but the final line of chapter 11 of 2 Samuel offers these words. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. No kidding. So that's chapter 11 of 2 Samuel. And then we turn the page to 2 Samuel chapter 12, and this is where the Oompa Loompas show up. Okay, he's not short and orange, but the prophet Nathan is basically the Oompa Loompa of the book of Samuel. Hang with me, I promise this. So, here's what happens. Samuel tells us that Nathan shows up in King David's court. Hear these words from chapter 12. The Lord sent Nathan to visit David, and when he arrived, he said to the king, "Let me tell you a story. You see, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb that he had bought. Oh, he raised it, and he grew up with him and his children. The man shared his food. He let the sheep drink from his cup. He even let the ewe sleep in his arms, for it was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to visit the rich man, and the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the guest. Instead, the rich man took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to visit him. David burned with anger against the man in the story. And so David said to Nathan, "Surely as the Lord lives, the man in this story must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a horrible thing and had no mercy." So Nathan said to David, "You are the man." A highly convicting moment if you're David. You are the man. And David falls right into it. He is so blinded by his own hubris that he can't even recognize himself in the story being told. I mean, you saw where this was going as Nathan started telling the story, but David didn't. David just got angry and was ready to see justice done. And here comes Nathan. "You are the man." It's like that moment in the movie when Willy Wonka pulls out the little flute. And then the music starts. Oompa loompa doompa dee doo, I have a perfect puzzle for you. Oompa loompa doompa dee dee, if you are wise, you'll listen to me. What do you get when you steal someone's wife? Send the husband to war and then taking his life. What are you at taking more than your share? You have to know that it's not fair. I don't like the look of it. Oompa loompa doompa dee da. If you're not greedy, you will go far. You will live in happiness too, like the Oompa Loompa Doompa Dee Doo. I told you, Nathan is the Oompa Loompa of 2 Samuel. You see, when you watch Willy Wonka, you will find in the sing-songy rhymes of the Oompa Loompas, you find the same thing that Nathan is sharing in our scripture today. What you find is an honest reflection of a situation. See, it's actually what each one of the children personify in the movie, though exaggerated. The children in Willy Wonka are us. They're people with flaws who sometimes get so caught up in them, they can't notice there's anything wrong. Only the people on the outside looking in can sometimes see the problem. Those of us living in the midst of our own failures don't notice it until something or someone points it out. And this is important. Because in order for change to occur, in order for us to grow as people, we must first identify that there is a problem. That's what Samuel was doing in our scripture. That's what the Oompa Loompas do over and over again in the Willy Wonka tale. They help us identify a problem we were in denial of. And so my hope today is to get you to ask the question, who will sing me the Oompa Loompa song when I need it? Or if you'd prefer a more biblical question, who will be my Nathan when I have lived into my shortcomings? You know, one of the great traditions of Methodism is the accountability of small groups. Methodists have always understood that when we build relationships in small groups of people, we have the opportunity to be in conversation about life and to listen to how we are living and hold one another accountable for the way we say we want to live compared to how we actually are. The idea that in Christian community, we could find people who would ask us how we were living and then, when needed, speak the truth to us in love. Now, if you're not familiar with that phrase, speak the truth in love, the truth isn't easier to hear when spoken in love, but when shared by people who love us, we have the support needed to then grow into the change before us. This is one of those things. You see, the story of David is a complicated one. After this part of the story in the 2 Samuel, we find that David faces much difficulty and pain that the author of 2 Samuel paints as consequences for his actions. Now, I am less inclined to believe in a smiting God and more inclined to believe that the choices we make do carry natural consequences to which we often will apply meaning in hindsight. Said more simply, I don't believe God punishes people, but I believe that our guilt is often assigned to the consequences of our own failures because we want to put it somewhere other than ourselves. What is helpful to remember in the story of David is that this is a story that reminds us that God works through imperfect people. Now, this does not mean that we get to bask in our shortcomings because God will work with us anyway. Instead, we are invited to make our journey in life surrounded by those who will tell it to us like it is, even when it's hard to hear. We need to find people who we can count on to speak the truth to us in love. We all need a close circle of Oompa Loompas. And we need them before we get ourselves into trouble, not just after. So we need to be willing to listen. We need to be willing to hold ourselves accountable for the growth in our own lives. Because as they say, you will live in happiness too, like the Oompa Loompa Doompa-dee-doo.